Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I like being with you guys. This is good stuff. It is obviously being in the presence of God that's the best, but there's something about it when you're not doing it alone, when you're with people who love being with God too. So that's good. Good things. Even I think maybe I'm enjoying it even more because I haven't had my wife all weekend long. So I'm like, I need some people that I can love on. So it's good. It's good to be here this morning. We've been on a series since the beginning of the year talking about launching into the deep. We've been looking at Luke chapter 5 and the beginning of Jesus calling his disciples. And actually, that wasn't the first time that Peter and Jesus met. We kind of went through that. There's kind of a series of events that happened before. But this is the word that I believe that God's given us for this year, is to launch out into the deep. And so we've been talking about that. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? We're talking about some water. You guys remember that? Ankle deep, right? Knee deep, waist deep, Ezekiel 47. So we're going to talk a little bit about that again this morning. But I want to pray. I know we haven't done enough praying, right? We just pray for tithe and offering, pray for missionaries, or pray for this, pray for that. But this is a house of prayer. And guess what? You need prayer. I need prayer. We need each other, lifting each other up in prayer. And so even as I do that, I just felt challenged just really quick. We've prayed for Greg and Jan already, but for those of you who don't know, Jan was back in the hospital the last couple of weeks, and they found more cancer. She was cancer-free, declared cancer-free, and then now she's got more cancer. So we want to pray over the Rush household. And I know we could spend every Sunday praying for different people, and I might get myself in hot waters that we're picking on Greg and Jan and praying for them so much. But I want you to understand, they're like our mom and dad. They're like the spiritual mom and dads of this church. I get it. I'm the pastor, but they're the associate pastors, and they carry a lot of weight of what's going on in this church. And so we want to definitely lift them up in prayer, just like we pray for our presidents. You know, we pray for people that are places of authority. That's why we're doing this, for Greg and Jan. So we want to pray for them. And then I'm going to throw that in there, that we're going to pray for us this morning too, that we'd have ears to hear. I believe that I prepared something that's from God. I don't know if I got all of what God wanted to say this morning, but I got something at least that he wants to say. And I believe that all of you have a job too. I had a job to hear from God and try to get something and prepare it, put it together and present it to you. That was my job. But all of us together, our job is to say, God, what's for me? There's got to be something. I 100% believe that everyone in this room, there is something for you today. But it's up to you. If you're not hungry, if you're not looking for it, it's just going to all go in one ear, out the other, over your head, and you'll leave here getting nothing. But if you really pray and ask God, feed me. I want to live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. He'll feed you. He'll give you something good. So in this, join me in praying for Greg and Jan, but also praying that God would speak to us something. You know, even as I said that, there's times when I've read the Bible where I'm reading like a chapter or a couple chapters and I can't stop. Just like everything I'm reading, it's like everything, literally everything is leaping off the page, and the whole content of what I'm reading was for me. There's other times where I've read chapters, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever to read. How much longer do I have to read chapters? I'm just being real honest with you. There's times where I'm not getting much, and maybe there's like two words or just a little phrase, like, that's it. That's what God had for me today. And that's all it was just a small little phrase. I'll take it, as long as I'm getting something. And so I'm praying that maybe the whole message and the content is not for you this morning. Maybe it's some random comment I make. But that's, I believe the Holy Spirit can use all of that. That there's something for you in all this. It might be something different for each one in the room. Enough preaching on what I'm about to preach on. But let's pray that God does that this morning. The Holy Spirit does a miracle in that. So Lord, we come before you. We thank you. This is a house of prayer. That we will never be, it'll never be too much prayer in this room. And so we lift up Greg and Jan to you, to your throne of grace and your throne of mercy. God, we are not sick. God, we're not downtrodden. We're not just a heavy hearted, God, that we can go through that, God. Eyes wide open to seeing the reality of difficulty. But God, we refuse to let cancer rob us of our joy, rob us of our hope, God. We declare that you are good. As we sing these songs this morning, you are a good, good Father. You are perfect in all of your ways, God. So we declare your perfectness, your goodness over Jan's body. That where there's cancer, where the enemy is trying to come in, Lord God, we pray that you would raise a standard right now in the name of Jesus. That Jan would be healed in the name of Jesus. That there would be peace that comes in like a flood over Greg and Jan's heart and mind, God. That they would stand up, that they would walk, that they would run, that they would soar, God. That they would not be defeated in any way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, God. That they would be more than conquerors, that they would stand in victory, God. So we declare your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your power, your might, your authority to be working in their lives, God. So we lift them to your throne of grace, and we declare that they are going to be a sign and a wonder even today, in Jesus' mighty name. And God, we pray that with that same conviction, that same boldness over ourselves this morning, that we want to be hungry, God. So Holy Spirit, would you stir up a hunger inside each one of us, myself included. We want to hear what you have to say to us. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We want your word to go forth and find good soil in our hearts, God, that they would produce, God, a tenfold return. Lord God, and so I pray, God, that each one of us would have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say. And that, God, we'd leave this place different than the way we came in because we encountered your presence and because your word transforms us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, good stuff. I'm ready to preach. Woo, good stuff. So we've been talking about Ezekiel 47. We're talking about we want to get past just the shallow waters, not just living in the shallow, ankle-deep waters. We want to go deep. We want to get past those waves like we watched the video clip last week, right, of Moana, getting past those waves. There's opposition. There's things that come against us, but we've got to fight the good fight. We've got to stand. Sometimes it's just standing, but sometimes it's pursuing. And I feel like this word that we have for this year is not just to stand firm. I get it. There's times and seasons, God's word says it, stand against the tax enemy. Then there's times to go on the offensive, to advance. There's times to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And to say it and speak it back. The enemy's coming against you. When I come against you in the name of the Lord, I come against you with God's word. There's a time to go offensive, right? The gates of hell are not supposed to prevail against us. So there's this idea that this word launch is not just this idea of just standing and waiting for God to deliver. No, we're supposed to move forward. There's often that God will move when we move. Right? That God is saying, all right, I want to move. I want to do signs and wonders. I want to do these things in your life. But there's got to be some movement on your part. You've got to do something. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. There's something that's showing us our next step. We might not know all of what this word launch means for our lives, for our church. But there's got to be a step where we say, okay, this is it. At least one step forward. And then God can use that. All right, now you can move in. So this isn't anywhere in my notes, but God's saying, look, maybe that was for somebody who was asking for that something. But we're going into Ezekiel 47. And so, the title of this morning's message is Launching into Fruit and Freedom. And so I'll explain where I got that title, and it'll make sense as we get there. But that's the title of this morning's message. And this idea of fruit, let me see. Yeah, let's do Ezekiel 47. So we read kind of the whole passage. What I want to highlight this morning is not the ankle-deep waters, and that goes into a full river that's in over your head, right? Where you can't contain it or you can't control it. You're in over your head. But I want to get to the second part of actually the promises and the blessings that came from actually the water that came from the sanctuary, from the temple. And then there was this river, which we read last week, but I want to read it again. So this is Ezekiel 47, verses 7 through 12. So this is Ezekiel having this vision, this encounter with the Lord, and this is what it says. Then he took me back to the riverbank. While sitting on the bank, I noticed a lot of trees on both sides of the river. Now there's a lot of, this is your picture. I want you to picture this in your mind, right? God's word is this isn't just something for thousands of years ago. This is something that God's speaking to us today in this season. Osmond River Church, to you in your own personal life. So let's figure that out. God, open this up. What does this mean to us? So he's noticing trees on both sides of the river. Verse 8. He told me, this water flows east, descends to the Arabah, and then into the sea of stagnant waters. When it empties into those waters, the sea will become fresh. Wherever the river flows, life will flourish. Great schools of fish, because the river is turning the salt sea into fresh water. Where the river flows, life abounds. Fishermen will stand shoulder to shoulder along the shore from En Gedi all the way north to En Eglaim, casting their nets. The sea will teem with fish of all kinds, like the fish of the great Mediterranean. The swamps and marshes won't become fresh. They'll stay salty. But the river itself on both banks will grow fruit trees of all kinds. Their leaves won't wither. The fruit won't fail. Every month they'll bear fresh fruit, because the river from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. So even as that's back up there, I just want us to sit on that for a second. These are the promises of God. I believe this is connected to this idea of launch. There's this idea of water that I didn't even get to. I had all these, I thought I was going to re-preach some of the things I prepared last week. And I had all these notes and tons of verses and I had all the slides ready to go. And God's like, that was great, Ryan. That's not for this Sunday. I'm like, oh man, thought I had it all figured out. But no, I want to go where the Spirit flows. I don't want to stay in shallow waters. I don't want to be stagnant, marshy waters. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is flowing, that we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I get it. God's word is always true. There's things in here that I can always pull out, that God's word is always powerful, always true. But there's something about that fresh rhema word where it's moving, where it's living. And that's what it's talking about. The sword of the Spirit is the Rhema word of God, where it's the Spirit breathed, where God is bringing something that's written down into life, into your situation. And so this idea of flowing and moving is important. But I wanted to highlight all these promises, all these blessings, that I do believe that these are promises that God has given to me, to this church, and I believe for you as well in your own personal life. But there's this idea that it's connected to the idea of getting launching, right? Getting past the waters. You got to go deeper. Keep going deeper. And I love that we sang the song this morning, right? There is a fountain flowing, right? There's this river. I want to be alive in the river. There's this connection to this passage here. And so I'm excited because I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, there's fruit. There's trees. There's been words, been prophetic words for the last several months that people were seeing trees in this church, that people were like trees and there was fruit growing and people were coming by Osborne and picking fruit from the trees of Osborne. There was prophetic words about that. There's all kinds of good stuff. And so, yeah, I'll just even jump into that really quick. Even yesterday morning, I loved this. One of my kids, I won't say who, so you can't pick on one of them and make them embarrassed. But one of my kids, Saturday morning, I've entered the season where I've been it for a couple of years that I don't have to wake up when my kids wake up. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Wes. I'm sorry, Northrop. I know you're still in that season. But my kids can wake up and I can just go right back to sleep. So I love it. I love Saturday mornings. I love that I can sleep in. And my kids get to sleep in too. It's a good thing. But as my kids, I heard them stirring and I got to go back to sleep for a little bit. And then I finally got up and one of my kids was still in bed. They had gotten up to use the restroom, but they went back to bed. You can do that. That's nice. And they are telling me it wasn't a dream they had, but they just were sitting in their bed early in the morning thinking about something. And it to me, when they first started talking, it was pretty random. Like, okay, it's pretty random. But to me, this is a God. I'm sharing it because I think that God was speaking through them. They said, Dad, you know how the Statue of Liberty is in New York? And you know how it's like made out of copper, but then it turned green? I'm like, yeah, where are we going with this? He's like, what if we had one like on the West Coast? Like, what if we had it in California? But what if it wasn't made out of copper? What if it was covered with avocados and oranges? And I was like, okay. He's like, well, because, California is known for avocados and oranges. I'm like, yeah, that's right. There's fruit in California. You're right. And so I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And as they said that, it reminded me that I had a dream Friday night into Saturday morning as well. I was like, oh, you're talking about fruit? I had a dream about fruit. And so I got to share with my kid, like, I had this dream that I was actually outside underneath some trees, and there was a group of us, and there was someone that was leading worship. Okay, now this is a dream and it gets weird, so you got to go with me. And then while they were leading worship, we were under these trees and the trees started producing fruit, but it was like super rapid. Like, you ever seen those time-lapse videos where all of a sudden like an orange blossom comes, the flower falls, then like it, small little thing is green, it gets bigger, bigger, yellow, then orange, a perfect big orange. But it happened like really fast, you know what I mean? And it was almost like, have you seen those LED lights that change colors, like it gradually keeps changing colors? Well, this tree was doing that with different kinds of fruit. It just kept growing really fast, this piece of fruit, and it would fade away, and then another fruit would come out, and then fade away, and another fruit would come out. And it was all over, underneath these trees. I saw, as worship was going on, all this fruit was coming under the trees. And then in my dream, I recognized, well, that's weird. These are pine trees, like evergreen trees, like fruit. It's not a fruit tree. It's an evergreen tree. Fruit doesn't grow. And I remember in my dream thinking, that's weird. Like, why is fruit growing from this tree? That's not weird. And we were under a whole bunch of different trees. And I saw fruit coming on other trees too. But I remember in my dream, I just kept focused on the pine tree. That's so weird. I wasn't weirded out that different fruits were coming really fast. I was weirded out that it was a pine tree. Because that's what happens in dreams. And so it was so cool. I was like, wow, I didn't even realize it was a God dream. And as I'm talking to one of my kids, I'm realizing, oh. And they, before I said anything, they're like, I think that was God, Dad. I think God wants Osborne Church to produce lots of fruit. You know, like the fruits of the Spirit. You know, like love, joy, peace. My kid is preaching to me. You know, producing all this fruit. And then that fruit is supposed to be a blessing to the city. Like the Statue of Liberty is supposed to be covered with the fruit that's being produced from the church. And then it's like a beacon. Like the Statue of Liberty is like a sign of liberty, a sign of freedom. And it's like when people come to the United States, they see the Statue of Liberty and they know they can be free. And they're supposed to be like, the city is supposed to be known that the fruit that comes from our church. And I was like, I think you got it. I think you're hearing from God. And so I just love that. I love out of the mouth of babes, right? That even this thing that directed where I was going to go with my sermon, that was already part of God saying, no, what you were talking about, what you had prepared, no, something new this morning. And so that's why we're talking about launching into fruit and into freedom. And so I believe these verses are true. I would love for you to own these, to pray them with me, to say, God, this is what you are promising and declaring over Oz Neighbor Church. This is what you're saying, that there's going to be a river that flows from the sanctuary. It's not supposed to just stay in this room. It's meant to have an effect and go out. And there's fishermen, they're supposed to catch fish, right? There's all these things where it's for the healing of nations, right? You talk about it's in Revelation, this idea of leaves from the tree of life is for healing, right? All these different things, it's for the effect, even Pastor Matt said, right? We are supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. And so God is saying that he wants to bless this church, but it's not just for us. It's to be a blessing to our city. It's to be a blessing to our neighborhood, to our family, to our workplaces, everywhere we go. And so I love even that this story of Ezekiel talks about the water flowing from the sanctuary and the river of life was full of life everywhere it went because it was connected to where God's presence was. It was connected. I had tons of verses about God's water, where in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, that the waters, the four rivers came from where God dwelled with man, and all these different things were about water. But that's not supposed to be my sermon this morning. As you can tell, I'm still like, God, I had good stuff. So let me see. So obviously, this fruit, I do want to hit this next verse, Galatians chapter 5, which we've all heard before, but I want to hit it, make sure you know what kind of fruit we're talking about. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I love that. Verse 25, connected with the fruits of the Spirit. All of my kids in this church at school, they've had to learn the fruits of the Spirit. But I love that verse 25 connected with it. Because the idea is, you and I, it's not our job to produce fruit. It's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit. Our job is to abide and obey. Amen. I can't make fruit. I can't make stuff come out of me. I can't make the fruit of the Spirit come out of me. I just have to abide and be led by the Spirit and obey what he says. And as I do that, oh, he produces the fruit in me. I love that analogy. I think I've said it before. I've heard a pastor say, you know, you don't ever see an orange tree striving and straining really hard to make an orange come out. No, it just happens naturally. That's what an orange tree does. It produces fruit. And that's what we as Christians do. We don't have to try to, okay, I'm going to be patient. This time I'm going to be patient. No, it doesn't come that way. That's not how the fruit of the Spirit comes out. It's just by abiding in his presence, coming close to him, spending time with him, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. And as you do that, oh, it just comes natural. And I love that. I love that Jan, to me, is a prime example of that. Jan does not strive to do a lot of stuff. Sometimes she just sits quietly in the front pew, but somehow, why does this fruit just keep coming out of her? Just her smile, just her presence. Man, this fruit is coming out of her. She's not striving at all. And even in a hospital bed, you go to visit her. She's the one that you're trying to go minister to, and somehow this fruit is just coming out of her. She's just producing all kinds of good fruit. Yeah. So it's not about this hard work ethic. No, that has nothing to do with producing fruit. It's just abiding and obeying. And the Spirit will flow and move. And I love this idea that it's the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. That's so good. And I love that the connection to me, the idea that in Ezekiel 47, it says that the water left the sanctuary, went south into the desert, into the wilderness. That God wants to produce fruit in the desert. God wants to produce, I'm going to just let that sink in. God wants to produce fruit in the desert. In your life, where you are going through the wilderness, where it's a hard time, where opposition is coming against you, that's where God, the Holy Spirit, wants to produce fruit in your life. See, when I think about the desert, when I think about the wilderness, right away I go to the Old Testament, right? The Israelites. What did the Israelites do? They produced complaining. They produced, things were better back in when we were slaves. Really? They were mad at God and blaming all their problems against God. Oh, Moses and God, it's all your fault. Complaining. And because of that, they wandered in the wilderness. But at the same time, what was Moses' reply in the middle of the wilderness? Up on the mountain, in abiding in the presence of God, what did he say? God, I'm not going to the promised land. If you don't go, I'm not going. Better to be in the wilderness, in the desert, with your presence than anywhere else. If you're not going to the promised land, then I'm not going. Better to abide in his presence in the desert than to enjoy the fruits of blessing where his presence isn't. See, there's times where I've been blessed. My life is going good, where there is no opposition, where things are, in a sense, pretty comfortable and easy. And I'll be honest with you, that's the times where I find it the hardest to stay in God's presence, to abide and to be desperate for Him, to be so hungry for Him. But it's actually the times that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death that I'm saying, I got to be close to Him. Where's my shepherd at? I got to be right next to Him. Because I don't want to fear evil. I want to be at peace. I want to know that His rod and His staff, man, they comfort me. Man, He's my protector. I'm close to Him. So there's something about this idea of being in the desert that God wants to produce fruit. And in fact, as you see that every time, to me in Scripture, it's pointed out, anytime God gives a promise and a blessing, like the promised land, God said, you got to go through the wilderness first. God's goal was not for 40 years to wander the wilderness. He just said, you're supposed to walk through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to set up a tent there. I'm not going to live there. But I need to get through it so I can get to the green pastures on the other side. We're supposed to go through. It's the problem. We will always go through wildernesses. We will always go through deserts. But we're not supposed to live there. We're not supposed to abide there. We're supposed to abide in His presence wherever He leads us. And the idea is that even Jesus, right? After He was baptized, after the Holy Spirit came upon Him, it says the Holy Spirit led Him to the desert, to the wilderness. What? Yeah, God's going to lead you through deserts, through wildernesses. But it's actually, it's part of His plan. He's saying there's a promise, there's a blessing on the other side. But can you abide in the midst of going through the wilderness? What did Jesus do? Jesus was abiding in His presence. He was fasting. He was getting intimate with the Father. It was not this wilderness where it was just, oh, everything's horrible and wrong and difficult, and He was just overcome with evil. No, He was not. When the enemy came against Him, He was ready to go on the offense. He was not so weak and weary that, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can withstand the devil or not. No, He was on top of His game. Man, right? And that's what I'm saying. I think that that's what God is saying to us. Some of us in this room, I've been preaching this, I feel like, forever. But God's not letting go of me preaching this every Sunday. That our faith does not deny the reality of difficulty. It denies its influence over how we live our lives. Difficulty, we will always encounter difficulty. But we've got to say, I'm not going to allow that difficulty to dictate my emotions, to dictate the words that come out of my mouth, to dictate my attitude, to dictate the praise and worship that comes out of my mouth. In fact, I will become indignant. I will bless the Lord even all the more. I will come in the opposite spirit. When the enemy comes against me, man, I'm going to come against you. I'm not looking for the enemy. I'm not trying to go find him under bush. But when he comes against me, you better believe I'm going to come against him. And so I'm just saying that I connect this idea of Greg and Jan, the idea of going through difficulty, the idea that God has promised us all these blessings in Ezekiel. He's promised us to launch into the deep. But he's saying there's going to be opposition. There's going to be a desert. There's going to be this wilderness. But I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be weary, poor me. I'm so, feel bad for me. Woe is me. No, don't take on that spirit. Say, no, I'm going to get through this wilderness with joy. I'm going to produce fruit. The spirit, everywhere the river flows, there is fruit. There is life. And it's going to go through the desert. And it's going to, I love this. It's going to change. I love the fact that when Jesus came, it changed the whole game, right? The Old Testament, the law was all this idea that you had to keep washing and purifying yourself over and over again. That if you touched something dead, oh, you were ceremonially unclean. So if you were alive and pure and holy, but you touched something dead, oh, you became dead. You became dirty. And Jesus says, no. I'm changing the game. I'm so full of life and so full of the presence of God that wherever I go, I touch death. Death is swallowed up by life. And that's how we are supposed to live our lives. That we walk through the wilderness, we walk through the desert, and we're not overwhelmed with the vast of the desert. And oh my gosh, it's so dark here. It's so difficult here. There's so much death around. No, we're bringing life to the desert. Everywhere we go, man, we're bringing life. That's what that word is. Everywhere we go, man, even if I'm in physical pain, man, I'm bringing life. I'm speaking life over other people, not just myself, over other people. And so I'm saying we've got to live in this. This is the idea of producing fruit in the middle of the desert. And I have no idea where I'm at in my notes, so give me one quick second. All right. Yeah, let's go to the next passage. After Galatians, 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We'll stop there. There's so much in there, that's like 10 sermons right there. But what is he talking about? The idea of this veil. the verses before this, he's talking about in the Old Testament, how Moses had a veil, and he would go to the presence of God, and then Moses would take the veil off so he could see God's presence. They would talk face to face, right? And so Paul is talking about, okay, that was Old Testament. New Testament, you don't have to take off a veil. In fact, God takes the veil off. The Holy Spirit takes it. So it's not man taking the veil off. The Holy Spirit is taking the veil. That Jesus ripped the curtain, right, from the presence of God. God has removed the veil that we can see him face to face. But I love this, what Paul is doing through this chapter. He's talking about how even Jews who spent their whole life memorizing the first five books of the Bible, the whole Torah, memorized it. He says they have a veil over their eyes. They don't understand it. They don't realize that everything is pointing to Jesus. Everything is a foreshadow. It was great. The law was good, but it's obsolete now because Jesus is here. There's still good stuff. I'm not saying the Old Testament is worth reading. It's worth reading because the veil has been lifted. We can read the Old Testament with new eyes, with fresh revelation, that you can have dreams. You can see things that, man, it lines up. God is the same yesterday and forever. And so, man, there's probably even more. The Old Testament is bigger than the New Testament. So there's actually more revelation in the Old Testament than the New Testament because there's more in there. So I'm not against the Old Testament, but I'm the idea of this veil being lifted. I share with you early on that sometimes I read the Bible and I'm not getting a whole lot. Well, I just need to stop and say, Jesus, there's stuff in here. Your word is living. Somehow there's a veil. There's something that's separating me from understanding your revelation. So would you remove the veil? Because I can't do it. I love the scripture. It says God removes the veil. So Holy Spirit, remove the veil. I need life. I need word. I need bread from here. So Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see what you're saying. Oh, well, that's so much easier than me trying to make it happen. So the Holy Spirit does this. But I love the idea that there's this idea of liberty or freedom where the Spirit... Do you realize there is more freedom in Christ than outside of Christ? The world will tell you the complete opposite. They look at this and they see nothing but rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, a whole bunch of things you have to do and you can't do. Oh, why do I want to follow that? I got more freedom outside of Christ. They're deceived. They've got a veil over their eyes. Once you come to Christ, there is way more freedom. There's way more freedom in Christ. And I love this verse because it talks about how he wants to connect into the idea of Ezekiel, that he wants to flow, he wants to do things sometimes in strange ways and go places I wouldn't want to go. The desert, that's not where I'd want to go. To the Dead Sea, that'd be like the last place I want to go. But the Lord, he has idea and I don't understand all of it. In fact, quickly, I've shared several times about myself. When I viewed myself, man, I'm not a natural born leader. I was the youngest in my family. Like everybody else, all my life growing up in my parents' household, I just did whatever my parents or my sisters said. Like, all right, wherever they go, that's where I go. Like, I never make decisions. I never said, hey, we should try this. That never came out of my mouth. I wasn't this strong leader. That's how I viewed myself. But God saw something in me. He says, no, you're a pastor. Well, I didn't see it. But God says, no. Will you follow me? Will you abide in me? And will you obey me? Don't worry about the rest. Just abide in me. Oh, I can do that. God, I love being in your presence. All right. Now just do what I say. Oh, but I don't know how to do that. Yeah, but just go do it. Okay. So I just abide and obey, and then his Spirit comes. Can I tell you, I know there's been times where I've got nothing up here. I've been stressed out of my mind. God, I don't have a sermon put together. He says, yeah, but do you know me? Well, I know you, but I don't have anything to say. Okay, just stand up there. Okay. And so I'm not saying that everything I say up here is golden. Man, sometimes I'm saying crazy stuff. But at least I'm praying at least something that I said out of the 30, 40 minutes I'm talking, something is said that was of God. And maybe that one something was for somebody and somebody got blessed. Praise God. And I love that I'm even bragging on my wife. My wife is not here today because she's doing something she never would have done on her own. But she's led by the Spirit to do something that she feels ill-equipped to do. But the Holy Spirit said, all right, I think you're supposed to go do this. And she's, I think I'm okay to say this. She'd be okay if I said this. She's much more reluctant to do what the Lord says than I am. To me, I'm always pleading, God, just speak to me. Just tell me what you want me to do. And I'm always trying to tell God, I'm always asking God to speak to me. Jen, God's just always speaking to her. And she's more like, God, please be quiet. I don't want to go do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So it's just, I love how our relationships with God are always so different. But, oh man, all right, I'm going to get myself in deep waters and I'll just keep going there. So what she's doing today, she is leading worship. She's in front of a whole bunch of ladies and she's singing publicly in front of other people. She never would have done that, and I'll tell you why. Get myself in trouble. Before I was dating Jen, when we were just friends, literally we were just friends, I think it was before she was even dating my best friend, which is another story for another time. I'd gone to her house and they're celebrating a family's birthday party. And I remember they brought the cake out. Everybody started singing happy birthday. And I just remember I didn't sing a word. Not because they eventually sang it in Polish and I didn't know it. No, because when they were singing in English first, I just was dumbfounded. I just started looking around and I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know how to sing. Because I'll give context. Because in my family, my mom is a music major from college. My sister sings for a living. My sister's all married these musicians. And so when we sing happy birthday, it's like 12-part harmony, like this musical masterpiece. And any note I want to sing, I can just sing with something. I sound great because they're all singing the hard parts. And so it's so fun. Like we sing happy birthday. It's this masterpiece. And then, you know, as this teenager, I show up at somebody else's family and they're all singing notes, different notes. But it's not harmony. And I have no idea which notes to sing because that keeps changing throughout the song. The notes changed. But I literally just stand there dumbfounded. I'd never heard a song sung like that before. And they were all happy. Nobody else looked confused. Okay. So I share that not to throw a dig, but to show that my wife came not from this breed of having all this musical ability. She didn't ever sing in a choir. She didn't learn any musical instruments. She didn't know anything. And so when she came to my family, she didn't even know the difference. She heard all this harmony. Sounds just like her family. Like, one of these is not like the other. So I say all that because now, praise God, Jen is not tone deaf anymore. She actually hits the right notes. I'm like, oh, praise God, my wife hits the right notes now. And so I'm saying this, it sounds like I'm saying bad things, but I'm saying this as a praise report for my wife. Because she's doing something she never would have done, I'm saying even 5 years ago. I promise you, if the Holy Spirit told her to do this, she would have said, nope, I'm not doing it. I know my wife. She's like, nice try, God, I'm not doing it. I'm just dead serious. That's how she talks to God. I'm not doing it. But where she's at, she's led by the Spirit. And she's saying, you know what? If God wants to produce fruit that looks like strange fruit to me, and I don't know how I control it, I can't make it happen, okay, God, I'll just obey. I'll abide in your presence. See, she's a worshiper. She might not have the best voice in the whole world, but you know what? Her heart is golden. When she worships God, oh man, she outdoes me in every way. She's intimate with God. She's so real. She's been on her face probably more than anyone else I've seen in this church body, right here on this floor. She falls on her face. She gets on her knees. She doesn't care what people think. She's in God's presence and she loves it. And that's why God had her do this. To lead people into her presence. Not to sing fancy songs, but to lead with a heart that's pure and genuine. And she's just obedient with that. And so God says, all right, the rest, we can figure that out. And so why am I saying, I didn't even know I was going to say all this. But I feel like God is saying it to somebody in this room. He's saying he's got blessings, he's got reward, he's got fruit that he wants to produce in your life and more fruit than you can contain, but it comes from being obedient, being led by his Spirit. We've got to get, yes, past the ankle deep waters. We've got to get this place, but I so connected the idea that God is wanting to produce fruit that is not just for our own lives. That word of the Statue of Liberty, right? Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's wanting to produce freedom in your lives. I was just going to say there's Christians in general, but I'll get a little more specific. There are people in your family, and dare I even say, possibly even in this room, that would say they're Christians, that come to church, but they still view God's word, this whole Christian thing, as restrictive. They're kind of bummed out. I mean, the things in this world, it looks more enticing. It looks like there's more freedom out there. There's more enjoyment, more fun outside of the church. And I can understand it intellectually, but I can't understand it in the core of who I am at all. I get it. I'm spoiled. I was raised in this church. I don't know life outside of Christ. But even this week, I had a coworker, you know, talking about Kobe. He knows I'm a pastor, and so he just asked me, well, how do you deal with that? You know, a guy that's good, a good dad who was doing good things in the world, and God just kills him? And I kind of just went off on him. I didn't really mean to, because I've had conversations with him before. Okay, I'll back up even some more. Because I know the history, He used to be a Christian. He used to be a follower of God. He went to Biola. He was a follower. And something, I don't know what it is, something happened in his life, and hopefully he's not listening to podcasts, I'll get myself in trouble. I don't know what it is, but something happened to him where he became bitter. Something happened where God didn't show up. God, if you're all powerful and you're good and you let this happen, I don't want anything to do with you. You must not be very good. And he walked away. And so I just spewed. He had no idea. I talked about, well, I said, you know, forget about Kobe. I just lost my sister 6 months ago. And I just went, bruh. I said, I couldn't imagine living life like you, where you're mad at God and you don't understand things. I said, I don't have to understand. I have God. I have a relationship with him. And when I'm with him, there's this freedom for his peace to fill me with overwhelming peace where I am not mad, I'm not angry, that I have this relationship with God that fills me with so much more than what you have. And I just kind of went off on him, and I just was, and he didn't even know how to respond. He's like just dumbfounded. Because I'm normally just kind of quiet and don't want to argue with him. And I just let him have it. And I'm praying that somehow it wasn't vindictive, it wasn't anger, that it was the goodness of God, the reality of my relationship with God, that it was my anger that he doesn't know what it's like to know the love of God. I'm all over the place, I'm not in my notes, but I wanted to end with 5 minutes. We're right there, 5 minutes. Okay. I didn't even get to half the things I was going to say, but that's okay. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? As Daniel's coming out to play some worship, the way that I wanted this today to end is actually to get in some groups. It could be a pairing to two or three or four, however it wants. But I want you guys to get with somebody in the pew next to you or in front of you, behind you, and pray for one another. And before you do, just close your eyes before we do that. Holy Spirit, like we just said, would you take the veil off of us? Myself included, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to each one of us? I don't want to play church, God. I don't want to just share some information or read some scriptures, God. I want to be changed. I want to produce fruit. I want you to produce fruit in me. So Holy Spirit, reveal something specific. Not just in general for people out there or someone else in the pew next to me. For me, Holy Spirit, show me where there's a veil, where there's something I'm not getting. Where there's fear, and I'm not obeying. God, I believe, I really believe you want to produce more fruit than I can ever hope, dream, or imagine. And I want you to have it, but I know that I play a role. And I want to do my best to allow your spirit to have freedom to be the Lord of my life in every area of my life. Yes, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but God, show me something where I can give you more lordship. Where there's an area of my life where I can be radical in declaring to myself that you are clearly the Lord in that area of my life.